When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.
Well, the NBA trade deadline is officially over, and the Cleveland Cavaliers have acquired DeAndre Hunter from the Atlanta Hawks in exchange for Caris LeVert, George Niang, three future second-round picks, and two pick swaps. We get into all of it and more next on an emergency edition of Courtside with Cleveland Cavaliers on SI.
What's up, Cavs fans? Spencer German, Spencer Davies with you as we recap a pretty eventful day for the Cleveland Cavaliers today. They make a trade to acquire DeAndre Hunter. It was the move that many fans were waiting for, waiting to see the Cavs pull the trigger on something to bolster this roster a little bit potentially. And really, like, this feels like a move that's kind of been like a couple years in the making, because I know there's plenty of people urging Kobe Altman and company to pull the trigger on something like this for a wing player. Dating back to last year, and it just never came to fruition. But the details of the trade, of course, the Hawks send DeAndre Hunter to Cleveland, the Cavaliers sending Caris LeVert, George Niang, three second-round picks, and two pick swaps to Atlanta. Spence, just walk us through your initial reaction to this move. I think this falls in line with what we talked about the other night. Like, this is a deep Cavs team, but they're lacking depth in some of the key areas, and most notably are at the wing spot. And so they made it a priority to go get this. And for the first place team in the Eastern Conference, you know, I think this obviously just bolsters their case as one of the top teams in this league, and a chance to and gives them a better chance, I think, to compete for a championship.
Positionally, like you said, it's something they've been lacking since Lauri Markkanen was gone, because they were playing a lot of guys who were 6'5", 6'6", at the three. Now you bring in a guy who's 6'8". Definitely muscular, definitely someone who's not afraid to body up. Offensively, having one of his best seasons of his career with Atlanta right now. Doing it all, really. He's shooting the three. He's really good at attacking closeouts, but he's kind of more of a dribble pull-up guy. He's been getting to the rim more and drawing fouls. But DeAndre, I think, in this particular set and with Kenny Atkinson, he'll be a really nice fit. And hopefully they don't just stick him in the corner. He's not that great of a corner shooter, I think 38% this season. But at the same time, you just have a little bit more versatility on the defensive end, allows you to not have to switch as much, to be quite honest, but also somebody who can guard pretty much 1-3, 1-4. And yeah, he's a teammate of Ty Jerome's at Virginia. He's got a history with him. So I think this is a great move. You know, you feel for Caris LeVert and George Niang, some guys that were pretty pivotal to the growth of the Cavs the last few years. And you know, this is the part of the business that sucks, but DeAndre Hunter is something and some player that they've needed here for a couple of years that we've talked about. And, you know, I've kind of masked the importance of, because of how many times the Cavs have been able to accentuate their strengths and find ways to combat it. But I think with Kobe Altman making this move, it's a clear sign that they understand and recognize that when they face the OKCs and the Bostons and all of these teams that have a little bit more size out there and athleticism on the wing, they have something now that they can go to. And now Dean Wade doesn't have to feel like he's the answer to all the problems. He can kind of play a little bit more loose, a little bit more free. And you can even use him at the four now with DeAndre Hunter if you wanted to. And you have all kinds of lineup possibilities with Hunter coming into the mix.
Yeah, we talked about that the other night. Like, you know, this team was kind of too reliant on Dean Wade, who's like your, you know, seventh or eighth, maybe ninth best player in the roster. And it just didn't feel like that was really fair to Dean or really for this team. Like, they needed something else there. And so this obviously bolsters that. I think Kobe Altman deserves a lot of credit. He's kind of played this thing perfectly. He made the trade for Donovan Mitchell. He gave it a couple years to marinate, see how that group would kind of mesh together. You know, realized they weren't going to get over that hump, made the key change at head coach to bring Kenny Atkinson, and that's worked masterfully. And then on top of that, you know, he had a chance last year to maybe pull the trigger on something, but he didn't, and he waited. And now this year, like, you're in perfect position atop the Eastern Conference to really maximize the opportunity you have here. And he deserves a lot of credit for that. Like, I think back to even like a year ago, how people were talking about Kobe Altman, feeling like he, you know, was maybe too timid or worried to make these moves. So I think it says a lot about him as the leader of this team to make that decision and bring in somebody who obviously is going to help this team in some way. I'm curious, Spence, what you think his role is going to look like, because I know in Atlanta he was coming off the bench, but do you think he will be a starter for the Cavs?
I think that he could be in pinches, and it's going to be a matchup dependent thing that Kenny's going to utilize him with. Here's the thing. He's going to be able to match up again with those teams that have the more like 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", guys. And he's been able to start in the past, but this season he's just really found a niche coming off the bench for the Hawks. And offensively, I think he's really found a role just kind of being that go-to scorer for them. And as I mentioned, like, he's been more typically of a three-point guy and a pull-up mid-range guy when he attacks closeouts, but he's been getting to the rim more and more. I know against the Cavs last week, he got to the line and went 12 of 12 from the free throw stripe. So he's capable of doing that. I don't know how much you want him dribbling per se, but I think, again, this is more about the defensive stuff than it is the offensive stuff to me. And he's got so much room to grow still, I think. And, you know, he was the fourth overall pick for a reason, you know, back, you know, 5-6 years ago. He is somebody that the Cavs have coveted. As we know, the Hawks, they ended up taking him at 4 in that draft. And we're trading up to get him. And the Cavs have always kind of monitored things on DeAndre over the years and kept tabs on him. And the thing about Atlanta is, I think that they saw what they had in Jalen Johnson. You know, can we continue to have DeAndre Hunter here? Because it's kind of, I don't want to say redundant, but maybe in the way of Jalen Johnson developing and getting more usage and whatnot. So I feel like that is why this ended up working out this way. I was surprised that, you know, other than the swaps with the Utah first round picks, that I don't even know who those are conveying to by now, if you want me to be completely honest. I think this was a really solid move by the Cavs, because they kept Jalen Tyson, they kept around some really good pieces, and they didn't part ways with that 2031 first.
I really thought that any move they made was going to have to include Jalen Tyson, so I was kind of surprised that they were able to pull this off without trading him, and I do think that's obviously a win for Cleveland. I think, you know, applause all around for getting this deal done, and certainly like what it means for the Cavs lineup and roster. I think the other part of this, Spence, and we heard so much about it leading up to the trade deadline, like the chemistry factor, how tight knit this group was already. You know, it had led to them being where they're at, you know, 41-10 on the season, obviously having tremendous success. And you heard Donovan Mitchell a couple of days ago just sit there and say like, we're good. We don't need anything. My biggest thing is like, I've talked about this already, but I'm not worried about that so much, because I think this core four group of guys is the most important for like that type of stuff, and their ability to, I think, just like integrate anybody and get along with everybody. I think that's just going to work flawlessly, and they'll make it a good fit. And I get it. Like, George Niang's close to Donovan Mitchell. I get that. Caris LeVert was a guy that everybody liked to have on the roster, but I'm not so worried about that as maybe some people were. I think they will make this work, because it's a move, you know, made with the intention of trying to make the team better to chase championships.
It is. It's definitely one of those things where you have to push for it, and I feel like this is the next step that they're trying to get to. And even we were talking the last couple post-game shows, and you listen to kind of the press conferences that Kenny Atkinson was talking, like, the tone shifted a little bit, and that was kind of intriguing to me, because he was really talking about the belief the team had and how you always had to listen if you could make better moves to improve the team, you know, no matter, you know, what, I don't want to say no matter what the cost, but also just knowing that maybe it isn't perfect the way it is. And DeAndre, again, he's going to come in and give them a position that they haven't had. I truly feel that they haven't had since Lauri Markkanen. And I know that he's a completely different player than Markkanen. Markkanen's somebody who goes and gets his own shot. He's not a self-creator like Lauri Markkanen is. But DeAndre, I think having those pre-existing relationships with Ty Jerome, knowing how good of a coach that Kenny Atkinson is to fit him in offensively and do those things, but also just utilizing him on the defensive end, whether it's in switches and in coverage. I think I saw a comment here on the YouTube channel just about how they're excited to see him play with Evan Mobley and Jared Allen behind him in certain situations, or even just one of them. The length is helpful. The length is helpful, and I think that he's a strong guy. I saw that some people were kind of parading around he wasn't so good individually against Jason Tatum maybe, but I feel like with other guys around you that can be better, and I think that his defensive rating in Atlanta this year might have been a little bit flawed just because they don't have the same personnel that Cleveland does on that end of the floor. So you have to kind of throw that out the window, and especially because sample size-wise over the years, DeAndre has been a really good individual defender and has been somebody to be able to get stops, shuffle his feet, and make things happen and force bad decisions. So DeAndre is really proficient in that area. And the one thing that kind of is a little bit of a holdup for me, and this is just kind of nitpicky, but DeAndre doesn't have the best injury history. He has missed some time. So that's something definitely to keep an eye on, and you don't want to overrun him. And luckily, Kenny Atkinson's somebody that does not overrun his players, but you got to think post All-Star break, the rotation is going to start taking shape, and now you're going to have to integrate a new piece, and he's going to have to figure out how to play within the system. He's going to have to figure out the defensive coverages and where guys' spots are. That's the only thing that I think might be a little bit rocky to start. And you got to think, too, there's only four games until the All-Star break. If you bring him in and you play him for three games and then you have a week in between and then you start up games again, that kind of is a little bit odd. So that part, I think, might take a little longer than people might think.
Yeah.
But defensively, I think that's going to be no problem. You're just going to have to nail down the communication and make sure that you're just playing your role offensively and not trying to do too much right away.
Yeah, it's a good point on the sort of quirky timeline here with the All-Star break coming up. I also do think, and this was just brought up in the comments as well by Jeremy Johnson. He talked about getting under the apron. This move allowed them to get underneath the luxury tax, which prolongs their ability to, you know, do some things, have some flexibility before they hit the second apron, which I think they hit the second apron next year, with just how contracts are going to accelerate the money that's kind of going to some of these
Donovan,
guys.
And Evan and Jerry, you know, like all these.
So you prolong that a little bit and you give yourself some flexibility for this current season. And the longer you can do that with the way this new setup is with the salary cap and the taxes and the aprons, that's obviously another sort of bonus here for the Cavs to get under that threshold.
It is. And, you know, you kind of think about this too. Now the Cavs have two open roster spots now because they sent away, it was a 2-for-1. So now you look at the buyout market. I know a lot of people were speculating around Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
It makes sense from a positional fit. I don't know if that's what they decide to do. Brian Windhorst of ESPN said to watch out for the Cavs and watch out for the Rockets as far as the Simmons sweepstakes go. I think, you know, you look at maybe a backup big that you can find in the open market. I know Daniel Tice is out there. I was thinking maybe a Mo Bamba would make sense. And a little thing, just maybe a gut feeling of mine, but the way that Naquan Tomlin is playing for the Cleveland Charge right now, it wouldn't surprise me to see him get up on a non-guaranteed contract or something. I don't know. Yeah. It's just something that's in the back of my mind. Nothing that's like confirmed. This is just all speculative, but he's been having a hell of a season for the Charge, and he's another 6'9", 6'10 guy who can jump out the gym but has also worked on his three-point shot and it has been really running the floor well. So that's another thing that I think could make sense there. But the open roster spots is definitely an interesting conversation, and we're just going to be getting started here with the buyout market. I know that the trade deadline is always the thing that gets the people occupied, but the buyout market is just as active for sure.
Yeah, to be determined, I guess, in that way, and in regards to, you know, what else they need to add. They do need to add at least one position because they need at least 14 guys in the roster. So they will be signing somebody. It's just a matter of who. And yeah, I think a good way to put it is like the buyout market's a little less Hollywood, like it's a little less, you know, luxurious. People aren't like necessarily thinking those are names that are going to, you know, help you, or they don't really look as it doesn't have the star power necessarily that you think of. But you're right. Like there could be some opportunities there to add and bolster this roster further. And we know Kenny likes to have a deep roster, which is why I think like this deal worked out perfectly. Cause you lose a couple guys that obviously added some depth for you, but you're getting depth at key places that you need it. And this gives you a chance to still replenish that depth through, again, the trade they made in the buyout market and still generally keep your roster pretty deep because they didn't have to give up guys like Sam Merrill or Ty Jerome or, as you alluded to, obviously Jalen Tyson. And so I think there's still a lot of potential for this team. And I applaud again Kobe Altman for taking the big swing to try to put this roster over the top as they try to chase a championship. So, did you have any final thoughts, Spence? Go ahead.
Yeah, just the combinations of the lineups are going to be really intriguing to me because I feel like you're going to be able to play the play.
I'm excited to see how we have to like adjust our thinking of like first guys up, first guy, you know what I mean? So we'll see what that looks like for sure.
He could be playing at the three or the four, you know, like can you see him in at the four with Dean Wade at the five, you know, like could you see him with Dean Wade at the four and him at the three? You know, he'll probably be playing with Ty Jerome quite a bit, obviously with the Virginia connection and them knowing each other's games and having that natural chemistry. But yeah, I think this was a really solid idea by the front office, and it's not even so much giving into the idea. I just think it's more or less like, okay, you know, we've kind of experimented this for a couple years now, and clearly there's still some sort of missing piece here. And they went out and they kind of got that today, I think. And hopefully DeAndre can stay healthy. He can stay, you know, get himself acclimated decently quickly. But again, it's not going to work out perfectly right away. So, you know, if he goes 2-for-9 on his first game or something like that, don't go in a panic or anything like that. Like,
I can't wait. I can't wait for those reactions.
You know, that's gonna you know, that will happen. You know, that will happen. what do we got the YouTube commenters here about before we get out?
Jeremy Johnson says it shows that they want playoff success, not regular season success. I think that's a good point. This is why like people have been clamoring for Kobe Altman to make a move the last couple of years. And like I said, I think he deserves credit for sort of being patient and giving it some time to sort of marinate before he pulled the trigger on something like this, but it's a good move. And then, yeah, Captain Fear says, if we buy out Ben Simmons, buckle up your seats, we're going for a ride. So people seem pretty excited about the move overall and the potential of other guys that could be joining this roster. But Spence, as always, good thoughts. Appreciate your commentary. Hopefully you guys can keep on following along. We have a bunch of different content up at Cleveland Cavaliers and SI YouTube page from last night's win over the Pistons.
Yeah, I'm fresh in from Detroit, people.
I was going to say,
like, literally,
Spence was on the road.
Right into
there.
The house, and
that's right.
We're on.
He was there, and we obviously have a whole bunch of written content over about what this trade means over at Cleveland or SI.com/NBA/Cavaliers. And yeah, you can find us there. You can find us here. And as always, keep on following along with all things Cleveland Cavaliers with the Cleveland Cavaliers on SI.